It's the Big Sports Breakfast Summer Edition, and we have two live games in the English Premier League this morning. And Mossy, still nil all between Brentford and Manchester City, but you've been keeping an eye on the Leicester-Tottenham game, and it's been very entertaining.
Yeah, it has. High-intensity chances at both ends. Leicester have been good for their lead, 2-1 with about 8 minutes plus injury time to go, so upset on the cards there. The Brentford-Manchester United game is the concern for Manchester United fans, of course. You know, this is 3 points they need this morning against Brentford, who were dusted 3-0 by Liverpool on Monday. So short turnaround for Brentford. Manchester United yet to hold them to account.
Phil Moss, Jamie Rogers and Ryan Phelan with you for the Big Sports Breakfast Summer Edition. A big hour still to come this hour. Amy Chapman and Robbie Slater will be talking football. I might have said we've got another racing guest after 10 o'clock this morning. It was established in week one of this program that I've got number dyslexia,
yeah.
Where I jumble the numbers up. In fact, a couple of times when I was giving the SMS number, you know, I mixed up a four with a six or whatever. So I'm sure people were getting random text messages somewhere in the world asking about sports. So forgiving there. So yes, we
that,
are.
That just, combined with sleep apnea is not a good combination.
And you're just giving a plug for Dave Stanley. Because there's
exactly.
plenty more racing guests at 10 o'clock.
Or as Nick, our producer, mentioned, listeners in New Zealand. But no, it is after 8 o'clock. And we are really privileged this morning to talk to a young man who, well, I think it would be unfair to call him a journeyman because that's something that you would reserve for someone certainly more senior. But that is what you can call Regan Bayliss because he's ridden in Victoria. He's ridden in Hong Kong. He's called Sydney home for pretty much the better part of the last year. And, gee, you remember in the spring, didn't he really make Sydney his home? Within the space of 40 minutes, he rode two Group 1 winners in Never Been Kissed and also the Epson with Private Eye. He's absolutely flying at the moment, and it's a pleasure to welcome Regan Bayliss to the show this morning. Hi, Regan.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure to be talking to you, and like Hugh Bowman, who we just spoke about before, the trials this morning at Warwick Farm are really something to get excited about. There's some quality horse flesh there this morning.
Yeah, most definitely. the carnivals are so long now because there's so many, you know, big races on offer. You know, the spring carnival rolls into obviously Cup Week, and then it's only a couple of weeks before the Magic Moon rolls around, and then once Christmas and Magic Moons is done, the autumn carnival, all these good horses are starting to come back straight away, so there's no time for rest, and yeah, there's a couple of important trials here this morning.
Regan, let's have a look at your rides on Saturday. You've got two, but I want to look at the one in the Carrington Stakes, and Vinciano, she's resuming from a 22-week spell. She's currently a double-figure price to win that race. What are your thoughts on her chances?
Yeah, she's come back in tremendous order. She's had two trials before being scratched the other day, and then I think Joe gave her another trial the other day just for fitness-wise. But I trialled her the two of the three trials, and she gave me a tremendous feel. She's come back in great order. The thing with this mare is she doesn't like wet tracks. We have had a little bit of rain here in Sydney over the last couple of days. So just hoping that sort of the rain can stay away, and she likes sort of that firmer footing. And if she does get that, with 54 kilos up on speed, I'm sure she'll give a good sight.
Let's go to Canterbury tomorrow night. Regan, how do you rate the chances of Aquarius and Miss Baltimore?
I think Miss Baltimore has a really good chance. She's another one whose trials were very good, leading to her first up run. Her first up run was super. She just blew out on fitness that last sort of 100 metres. And the other day, she missed the start. But looking at her sectional, she's not a horse that likes to come from back of the field like she did couple of weeks ago, but she was still able to sort of reel off some good sections that last little bit. So she's third up now. We always thought when she got to Canterbury, especially in these Friday night meetings, that would be her best chances of winning a race. But she does bump into a smart one in Jarlay, who I've won two races on, who I reckon will be a player in those good sort of filly mares races in the autumn. So she'll have to be on her game, but I'm sure she'll be turned out in good order.
And what about Aquarius? We've got a text from Uncle Laurie. I'm not sure whether you know Uncle Laurie. He's part of the show. He's Yvonne Sampson's uncle, and he helps us out with a multi each and every week. He owns a share in Aquarius, who's at big odds for Matt Dunn. But what do you think about her chances?
Yeah, I thought Aquarius's run was really good the other day at Warwick Farm. Obviously, Chad Schofield rode that time, but I thought stuck on really well and got to the line nicely. So obviously, second up, experience from that first up run and drawing a good barrier too, which is very important at Canterbury, as you guys know. You know, that's half the battle, drawing a nice marble there, and sure she'll, you know, take good fitness from that first up run, good experience, and should be around the mark.
Regan, as I mentioned in the intro, you know, for such a young guy, you've covered a lot of territory in your racing career. You had a terrific stint in Hong Kong, and now you're back here in Sydney, which is really one of the toughest places to ride in the world. How have you found it, and how are you enjoying the challenge? I mean, you've even got a mate in Chad Schofield who's returned back in a similar vein now, trying to make headway in what is a very tough jockey's room.
Yeah, most definitely. It is very tough, and you know, I sort of come to Sydney without sort of knowing any sort of, or having any relationship with any of the trainers or anything. So I've had to really sort of start from scratch, and really proud of what I've done, been able to achieve here in a short amount of time. And, you know, it's very tough. Just because you win two Group 1s over the spring, it doesn't just sort of catapult you into getting sort of 9 rides during the carnival. You just got to keep working and, you know, keep building relationships with the stables and try and find yourself on a nice horse. That's half the battle.
Regan, another text message has come through from Bill, who's just asked the horse you're most looking forward to riding in the autumn.
There's probably two. Private Eye, definitely. I think he's going to have a couple of trials and then go first up in the Canterbury Stakes. And he's first up running the Southern Cross. Last preparation, when he wasn't really near fit enough, he was able to come down the outside and win. So I reckon he'll be a good chance in that. And obviously Never Been Kissed, who won the Flight Stakes. Looking forward to her getting up to sort of a binary sort of trip, binary on Golden Slipper Day, and then a couple of weeks later into the Oaks.
Regan, you were just mentioning before how difficult the jockey ranks are here in Sydney, and I don't think anyone would disagree with you, and that jockey's room's about to potentially become a little bit more crowded with Willie Pike coming over. What's your thoughts on that? Obviously, there's a lot of conjecture from people just about vaccination status and how the Sydney jockeys have towed the line and done the right thing, and also what you think someone like Willie could potentially bring to the jockey ranks here.
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, Willie, you know, basically owned the jockeys ranks over in Perth, you know, in most recent years, and he's a tremendous rider, and he's a very popular rider as well, so I'm sure he'll get plenty of support. Just how Racing New South Wales are aligning with the government rules, and you don't have to be fully vaxxed at the moment to be riding, so he's not breaking any rules, and so he's, you know, he's coming here, I'm sure he'll have plenty of success.
Mm. We just had Huey Bowman on earlier, Regan, and we asked him his thoughts on night racing, which has become a bit of a hit through the summer, and whether he'd like to see it extended to Randwick and Rose Hill. I posed the same question to you. He was more in favour of twilight racing as against night racing, given the Saturday card as well. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'd be sort of more inclined to twilight racing also. Obviously, plenty of track work to be done here early mornings, you know, especially for the track work riders and the stable hands. You know, they're, you know, long hour days, plenty of official trials here. So I'd be sort of more inclined to agree with you, more on the favour of the twilight. But I did come from riding in Melbourne where, you know, sometimes I'd be riding sort of 3 night meetings a week. You know, there was Pakenham night meetings, Cranbourne night meetings, and also Moonee Valley. So being a fresher breath there, only sort of having the Canterbury night series. But, you know, if they look to extend it, I'd be sort of more inclined for the twilight.
Where do you feel most at home from all of the places that you've ridden? You know, Sydney, obviously, as we mentioned, is very tough, but you have been in Hong Kong and Victoria. Just speak to those different venues where you've ridden and where you felt most at home riding.
Probably feel most at home here at Sydney now. I did a stint here when I was an apprentice for about 5 or 6 months when Peter Moody had a satellite stable here. He sent me here over the spring carnival. So was always a jurisdiction that I wanted to come back to, you know, and the opportunity arised, you know, 14 months ago now, and really sort of feel home here at Sydney now. Obviously, my partner, Sheridan, she's got her family. Her family lives in Sydney, and, you know, they've been great for me, and, yeah, Sydney's definitely home.
Good to hear, because a lot of people, just like myself, love backing you, Regan. You've got great balance on a horse. It was terrific to see what you did in the autumn with those two Group 1s in a day, as I mentioned earlier. And hopefully many more to come in this autumn. But most importantly, getting some winners on the board this Friday and Saturday night. And we thank you for steering us into a couple, and best of luck.
Thank you very much for having me.
Regan Bayliss joining us this morning, a very popular young jockey in the Sydney ranks, which, as we've spoken about time and time again, very difficult. So the fact that he's racking up winners is a terrific achievement. Well, there's plenty of football happening this morning. And Mossy, we've had plenty of action. Leicester Tottenham is in the closing seconds, and there's been developments in the Manchester United Brentford game as well.
Well, they heeded our advice, Ryan. As soon as we spoke about it last time, we said Manchester United needed to hold Brentford to account. They scored 15 seconds later. So Anthony Elanga in the 55th minute and Mason Greenwood in the 62nd. 7 minutes, bang, bang, thank you very much. So they should, from here, go on with it, you would imagine. As I said, Brentford only played on Monday against Liverpool. So a big 3 points coming up for Manchester United fans.
Now, Mossy, this morning you tipped the outsiders Leicester, and they're currently 2-1 up. Oh! Oh, no.
Well, you just put the mock on that, Ryan.
If that is not a live-to-air mock, I've never seen one like it. So Tottenham have just levelled at 2-all. With literally, I think there was no time left on the clock at all.
None whatsoever. 94th minute and 55 seconds. There was only 5 minutes of injury time. Bergwijn has equalised for Spurs as we speak. Thank you very much for that, Ryan. You've just ruined my tip.
I mean, I didn't say that they were home, which is a dirty mock to do.
You were leading in that direction. Well, I mean, Mossy's been so animated and excited throughout this match, and then Ryan has just gone and put the mock on in the final segment.
There was 5 minutes of injury time. I think when I started the sentence, on the clock there was 94:45. So there was essentially 15 seconds left in the game.
There was. But listen, speaking of mocks, let's get to Amy before she hangs up on us.
Oh, good morning, Amy. Amy Chapman joining us, 10 football expert. It's a celebration of football this morning, Amy.
Very much so. And guys, I will admit I'm a Spurs fan, so I enjoyed every second of that.
Are you watching, Amy?
I'm not, actually, so I was getting it live from you guys.
Yeah. Brilliant. It was an enthralling finish. But look, we're here to talk the Matildas, obviously some very important games coming up. We know we've got a 2023 World Cup on home soil. So the Asian Cup, we haven't secured an Asian title since 2010. We've fallen short in 2014 and 2018. So this is ultra important, isn't it?
Hey, absolutely. And the Matildas will be out to win this, there's no doubt. And both the last two Asian Cups, they've lost to fierce rivals Japan. And the stage is set in this tournament because they won't actually meet Japan till literally the final game if they both get there. So, but yeah, game one tomorrow night against Indonesia.
Now, Amy, did you say you're a Tottenham fan? You're a Spurs fan?
Yes.
I've got even better news for you. They've won.
No way.
It's now 3-2. Have you seen a more extraordinary finish than that, Mossy? So what, they've scored two goals in the space of a minute with 15 seconds pretty much left in the game.
And Bergwijn grabbing both of them. That's absolutely remarkable. I mean, we have seen results like that, haven't we, Amy, plenty of times over the years. Well, I shouldn't say plenty of times, but it is possible. We used to have Manchester United with Sir Alex Ferguson, squeaky bum time, which was the last couple of minutes of games. But, yeah, remarkable. Well done, Amy. Spurs are up.
Thanks.
They are home and hosed.
All right,
Amy.
I enjoyed it playing out on air. I enjoyed that.
We'll get back to the Matildas now. So how do you see the match playing out between Australia and Indonesia? No doubt the Matildas will be aiming for a big win.
Yeah, definitely. But I think some of these, particularly Southeast Asian teams, are going to make it really, really difficult. There's a lot on the line for all of these teams. There's more places in a Women's World Cup than there ever has been before. So there's 32, meaning more Asian qualifiers. Now, Indonesia will certainly have a tough ask coming up against the Matildas. I don't think they'll make it easy, but I do certainly expect goals. It should be a relatively easy win for the Matildas. And I think their toughest in their group round will be Thailand. But it's amazing to watch how far these teams have come in 2 to 4 years, because a little bit of investment in these Southeast Asian teams go a really long way.
Yeah, it's so true, Amy. Across women's and men's football, these East Asian countries are pouring millions of dollars into their development. Talk me through, so the Matildas, and I love watching them play, a massive supporter, of course, and I want them to go deep in, well, I want them to win the Asian Cup and I want them to go deep into the World Cup next year. How important is this tournament for that preparation, point one, which I know is a reasonably obvious question, but I'd love to get your thoughts. And secondly, the Achilles heel of the Matildas has been their defensive structure. They've shipped too many goals. Can they fix? Have they fixed that in time for this tournament?
All very great questions. And I think Matildas had a real roller coaster of friendlies, but when they've turned into tournament mode, so even the Matildas, at the Olympics, they did overachieve. So, and that's sort of been the new coach, Tony Gustafson's saying. He sort of said, judge us on our tournament mode, don't judge us on our friendlies. That's where I try things. And that's where we've seen, you know, some youngsters exposed in defence, and certainly Matildas has conceded more goals than ever before. So, there has been some alarm bells going off saying, are we as good as we think we are? Do we have the players coming through? And they're valid questions, but this is the first time the Matildas will have a full squad. All quality players are fit and raring to go. So I think it'll be different. And it's going to be a good mixture of youngsters getting some opportunity as well, particularly in these early games. I think some of the local stars will get an opportunity, rest Sam for a few, but they'll certainly want to get the points on the board in game one.
Mary Fowler, she's a name on everyone's lips. She looks to have an incredible career ahead of her. What are your thoughts?
She's a superstar, absolute superstar. And there's actually two graduates from there's two 15-year-olds about 3 or 4 years ago that everybody started talking about, and it was Holly McNamara and Mary Fowler. So Mary Fowler's already shot onto that stage, and Holly McNamara is just getting her chance for the first time this tournament. So she's certainly someone to watch out for. Both, you know, play well beyond their years and will have huge careers ahead of them. I think Mary Fowler is the next sort of Sam Kerr-esque. She's certainly growing. She's still only 18.
Amazing, isn't it? It really is incredible. And we don't want to put too much pressure on young shoulders, but, gee, when you see talent, you know it. Just you mentioned Sam Kerr a couple of times before, and Jamie asked me this question on air yesterday. I'd love to get your thoughts, Amy. So she gets voted second best player in the world and misses out on the World 11.
Yeah, a really, really confusing one there. And you take this one with a bit of a grain of salt. So obviously the players vote for the World 11 as well. So often they're playing, but you vote for the people you play against regularly, potentially even your teammates. So there's a couple of major stars, a couple of the best players in the world, including Sam, who didn't make the World 11, but get individually ranked as 1, 2, or 3. So look, that's still, yeah, very confused about that one, but she's right up there. She is the best goal scorer in the game right now, and this will be a perfect tournament for her to get more goals to her Matildas name.
So the Matildas, as Jamie mentioned, kick off with Indonesia at 9 o'clock on Friday. Monday versus the Philippines, that's also at 9, and Friday against Thailand at 1 a.m. Amy Chapman, 10 Football Expert, is talking with us this morning. And Amy, we've seen COVID wreak havoc on sports right around the world, and it hasn't been an exception here in Australia, particularly the Women's A-League has been affected. And with preparation for the Matildas, do you think that will play a role at all? Or you mentioned they've got a full squad. They've seemingly managed it quite well.
Yeah, I think every sport in the world has been hit by this, and football has been no exception. And there's one part of me with this Asian Cup that's a bit sad. So it's been hosted in India, and Indian women's football still has a long way to come. And this would have been, it's almost like when Japan hosted the Olympics, but no crowds. It feels like that moment for India, because their home support would go a long way. It'd go a long way to India really seeing the potential in women's football as well. So there's lots of sort of collateral stories going on at the same time. So, and it's going to be tough for these girls to play in India. The climate's different. The grass is different. So it's going to be a trickier ask. But I certainly think the Matildas have well and truly enough depth to get all the way through to the end. And, you know, Mossy, this, you'll really appreciate this as well. Those football tragics will really know that Alan Stajic is actually coaching the Philippines team. So when the Matildas play the Philippines on Monday, that is going to be a super game to watch because he's obviously a former Matildas coach and will be out to get something against them. Probably a difficult ask with a Philippines squad, but that is a game to watch.
Yeah, isn't it funny how the universe works in mysterious ways, Amy? Listen, it'd be remiss of us to let you go without asking your thoughts on the A-League women's season so far. Sydney FC leading the competition by 4 points from Melbourne City.
Yep. Sydney have so much depth, and even when they took out their two best strikers, they still scored 6 goals on the weekend, Lucky. So, yeah, they're certainly the team to beat. Brisbane just haven't managed to get into it yet. I still think they've got a good squad, though, and Melbourne City and Melbourne Victory, they're certainly the standouts. So it's been such a fascinating season, and with COVID and now the Matildas selection's been taken out as well, I think it's opened up even more.
All right, Amy Chapman joining us this morning, a 10 football expert. And don't forget, you can catch all the Matildas games at the Women's Asian Cup on Channel 10 and 10 Play, including Friday night's clash against Indonesia. Coverage starts from 8:30 p.m. Enjoy the Asian Cup games, Amy, and thanks for joining us this morning on the Big Sports Breakfast.
Thanks, team.
Thanks, Amy.
Now, imagine owning a horse that is eligible to race for $1 million in the newly announced Magic Millions race, the Syndicate. For just $200, you can own your share of Laurie Daly's six-horse racing team, with three of the six horses eligible for the big new race on the Gold Coast. Richard Friedman, he has declared Luna Rocks will be winning races. Blue Torpedo is close to her debut with Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott, while Kim Waugh is pretty impressed with her star Turngilding. Don't let Loz hog all the limelight. Join the fun. Don't miss out. Simply go to trl.net to race for $1 million. Gee, scoreboard update. You've got to keep your eye on the scoreboard this morning with the English Premier League. You look 1 minute and it's completely different the next. Well, Manchester United, what was looking a reasonably stale game, has ignited in the last sort of 20 minutes or so. Manchester United now 3-0 over Brentford. And Tottenham somehow won. Leicester were up 2-1 with seconds left in injury time. And somehow Tottenham came back to win 3-2, Mossy.
It was incredible. Bergwijn with a couple of goals late on, very, very late on. It's a great 3 points for Spurs. It's so hard to write that stuff.
Yeah.
The script for that, you know, it was that they levelled with the last kick of the game, and then the time it took for the restart is probably the time it gave Spurs to then go and score another one. And you could see Leicester just switched off.
Yeah, incredible result this morning. So that Manchester United game is still going. Now, Ronaldo, did he play Cristiano
Ronaldo? Yeah, he started. And was subbed in around the 77th minute, I think it was. So, big result there for Manchester United. You expected it, and I'd love to get Robbie's thoughts as well. But, you know, it was 0-0 for a long period of time.
Yeah, well, let's join Robbie Slater now because, as I mentioned, there's been plenty happening in the Premier League, and there's a lot more happening on Saturday, Sunday and Monday as well. It's actually good to see the full complement of fixtures pretty much coming back in the Premier League from Sunday through to Monday. And even the A-League as well, Mossy. We saw Brisbane Roar level with Perth Glory last night at one apiece. But Wellington Phoenix take on Western United, Sydney FC and Perth Glory as well, Central Coast Mariners, Melbourne City, Brisbane Roar and Adelaide United. So a lot more continuity, I guess, with matches getting underway in the A-League as well. But let's focus on the Premier League, which has been unfolding this morning. Robbie Slater, good morning.
Yes, good morning.
What about that thriller, Tottenham-Leicester?
Yeah, well, it looked all over. As quite often happens in football, it wasn't. 30 seconds to go and Bergwijn, who was the substitute, comes on, not only scores the equaliser and then gets a winner. It was extraordinary. And to be fair, on the balance of play, Tottenham deserved the win, but it looked like it slipped away from Madison, giving Leicester the lead. And as I said, looked all over, but wow, what a finish. finish to the game. Unbelievable.
Well, Robbie, what have you made about the encounter this morning? We've got the Manchester United-Brentford match on our screens right now, where Man U are leading 3-0. What have you made of this clash?
Well, it's been awful. Well, Brentford have had their moments in the game, but you know, the cutting edges with Man United, Rashford just adding a third just a couple of minutes ago, and it's a comfortable win for Manchester United. But the big story of this game is going to be what's happening on the bench. Rangnick, Manchester United manager, going to sit next to a very, very unhappy Cristiano Ronaldo, where the camera's been panning to him since he was substituted. And he's basically spat the dummy. And he's been muttering to himself and trying to talk to other players on the bench, which is extraordinary given that United were winning 2-0. But he was most unhappy about being substitute, spat the dummy, and even the manager has gone, which is very rare, to go and sit next to him and to put his arm around him and tell him that it's okay, we're winning 3-0.
Yeah, it's a very public show of affection from the manager and a very public show of dissatisfaction from a player. I was going to ask your thoughts, Rob, during the week, well, over the last 7 days, there's been about three or four Manchester United players who have come out and backed Rangnick, his methods and how he wants the team to play. He's obviously the interim boss, which is a very difficult position to hold. What have been your thoughts around those comments?
Unsurprising. It's amazing how players are always very much in favour of the man in charge at the moment. But if he was to move on, the same players would say of the next coach that, oh, that's a great move. That's brilliant. Yeah, he's got to come in. And it's pretty much the way footballers react. But obviously, for four of the players to do it, I guess shows that he's having an impact. Whether it's going to be enough for him to take the job, it's hard to say, because United have been in all sorts really since Sir Alex Ferguson left, which is a long time ago now. The last title was a long time ago, and that's what United fans want and expect. They have an expectation of success, and you know, the managers that have followed since Sir Alex Ferguson, you know, whether it be Moyes, Van Gaal, Mourinho, Solskjaer, they just haven't been able to reproduce what United did in, of course, the late 90s and the early, well, not all of the 90s and, of course, the early 2000s.
So just updating that Manchester United game, Brentford have got on the board. It looked as though it was an own goal without sort of seeing the commentary just first time round. It looked as though it might have come off a deflection from Lindelof there. So
now, Ryan.
Yes.
Ryan, is that you?
Yes.
Now, that's very... I don't know how you're going to be able to see the commentary, but that was...
No,
that
but sorry, I can't hear the commentary. Sorry, I'm seeing it. Don't worry, Robbie. No. I said it was 10 o'clock when it was 8 o'clock before, so it's just one of those mornings. So just updating there. But, Robbie, before we get away from the Premier League,
yes,
and on to the A-League, 10 matches...
Do we really have to go away from now? I'd rather stay in the Premier League, to be honest.
Well, I know you would, so let's give it a few more minutes at least. What are your highlights from those matches from Saturday through to Monday, and what are you looking forward to the most, and keen to maybe put some cash on?
Well, there's, yeah, as usual, I always look forward to all the games. Even, I think there's a massive game on the weekend where... could we call it a resurgent Norwich? Probably not, but Watford will take on Norwich, and I think that is a massive game already in respect to relegation. But one of the games that that stand out, of course, there's two for me, and one's a very, very big London derby, which has ramifications from this morning, with Tottenham now able to go into it with some confidence, which that kind of win will bring. They're playing Chelsea, and Chelsea is slipping at the moment. A draw with Brighton, yesterday it was. And the thing with Spurs, if you actually look at the table, they're only 1 point now behind West Ham, who was obviously sitting in that fourth position. West Ham have got three games. Tottenham have got three games in hand on West Ham. And with Chelsea slipping, I mean, if Tottenham can put a roll on, they're going to have to be more convincing, of course.
they're not always going to get a late win like they did this morning. But if they can put a roll on, they can easily, you know, put a real fight on for the top four spot and even possibly chase Chelsea. Because with Chelsea slipping, Liverpool have games in hand, it looks like it's going to be City-Liverpool that's going to be 1-2. But I think third and fourth place are wide open. And the other one, in respect to that chase, is Manchester United, who move up onto 35 points. And they are playing West Ham at Old Trafford. So that is an absolute... They're two cracking games in respect to the top four fight. Yeah. And, of course, the Watford-Norwich one in respect to relegation. The other one to follow is Steven Gerrard travelling to the troubled Everton, who, of course, sacked their manager, Rafa Benitez. There was no surprise there. That's another very, very interesting game. So, as always, lots of interesting games. Poor old Burnley. Well, they've only played 17 games, less than everyone else, which makes them slip right down. They don't have it easy in a game that they're hoping to be played, because we know that games have been called off at the last moment with COVID. But they travelled to Arsenal to finally get a game.
Well, let's give you some odds in order of what you spoke about there. Watford 205, Norwich 340, the draw 340.
Mm-hmm.
Your pick?
Sorry, I've got Watford to win that at home. Just.
Okay, they're
in a real tight one.
205. Man United, West Ham. Man United $1.85. West Ham 370. The draw 370 there at the moment.
Yeah, look, I think I just got a feeling at Old Trafford they'll be too strong for West Ham, who of course did slip up at home to Leeds, and that could prove costly, given all the reasons I just talked about with Tottenham games in hand, United looming on them as well. So, and Arsenal are not out of the picture as well. Definitely not out of the picture. So West Ham, who have been superb this season, but I think they'll lose at Old Trafford. And I've got Chelsea.
Yeah, Chelsea $1.62, yeah. Tottenham $5, the draw $3.90, that one on Monday morning.
Yeah, look, with no confidence, I've got Chelsea to win it because Tottenham is so unpredictable. But Chelsea, Thomas Tuchel will be desperate for them to hit back, and I've got a feeling they might just shave that.
Rob, you mentioned two of the bottom three in Norwich and Burnley a little bit earlier. Newcastle are sitting between those two clubs. Have they done enough in the transfer window, Trippier and Chris Wood, the Kiwi striker? Have they done enough to get themselves out of that relegation zone and stay up? They've obviously got very rich owners, a new manager in Eddie Howe. What's your thoughts?
History of Newcastle, they could have signed Neymar, Messi and anyone else from all the other clubs, and they could still be relegated. Such is the history of Newcastle United. Massive club, massive support, but always, always disappoint. Look, a couple of good signings. Whether it's going to be enough, it's hard to tell. I don't think you could say with those two signings that it is enough, but given the way the competition's going, given the way those other teams down the bottom are performing as well, you'd have to say Newcastle are favourites. Norwich have found a bit of form. I know what would beat Norwich. I think if looking at the table, it looks to be three out of the four that are there. So, look, I've been in a relegation battle. It's not nice. It's horrible. I remember we were saved on when I was at Southampton in the 90s. We went to Aston Villa on the last day of the season, needing a result, maybe not needing a result. And that's the way it's going to be. Is there another team that might slip down into that area of relegation? It's possible, but certainly the four that are there at the moment, you'd think it's going to be a long end to the season. And it's not nice. It's not a nice place for the fans or the players. It's very, very nervy.
All right, Robbie, let's move on to the A-League. Brisbane Roar. They got their first win of the season. They've moved off the bottom of the ladder with that 1-0 victory over Perth Glory. What did you make of that match?
Well, I didn't see it, to be honest. It's been very difficult to...
Oh, well, thank God Mossy's here to give us a recap then. Hey?
Well, he's the one that works in the A-League now. He's doing all the commentary for SFA Cup in A-League. He's the expert on the A-League. I'm sorry, with COVID, it's been very, very hard to follow the A-League and the Premier League at the same time. So that's why we have different experts.
You're in holiday mode too, though, Robbie, aren't you?
Well, I was in Holland. I'm back from holidays now. But look, the A-League has been, you know, affected, you know, more than anything else in this country. When you look at the Big Bash, have managed to play their games in the AFLW. The AFLW League has been able to play as well, and A-League has been really, really badly affected. But that is a massive positive for Brisbane, of course, stating the obvious, but you know, bottom of the table, they needed a win. And personally, games, they've hardly played. What's that, their fifth game? So, you know, hopefully the A-League can get on a roll and, you know, get most of its games being played. To get some rhythm to the competition. For Brisbane, that's a big win.
Socceroos, Rob. Graham Arnold heads down to Melbourne tomorrow to prepare for the camp for the two-game World Cup qualifiers coming up. What's your thoughts for these qualifiers and a potential squad?
My thoughts are that it's all in our hands. We've got Oman after Vietnam. I expect us to beat Vietnam. You know, anything can happen in football, but at home, we imagine we'll be too strong then. It'll be a tricky trip to Oman, and a result there would be fantastic. And then we, obviously, in this short space of time, in the next month and a half, we're going to know what's happening, because then we'll play Japan at home and we'll have Saudi as the last game away. So, if you look at where we're sitting, and don't forget the other sides have got to play, there's a big Japan-Saudi Arabia game in there as well. And Oman, I think after we play them, well, before we play them, they're playing Saudi Arabia. So, like I said, Mossy, it's all in our hands. If we get the results we need, we'll qualify. It's quite simple. And I expect us to do that.
Hey, Robbie, I've got the mouse poised for the multi. What are we doing this weekend?
What would you like to do?
I don't know. Well, win. That's what you've got to decide.
Win.
What I'd like. That's why you get paid the
big bucks, mate, to come up with these multis and line our pockets.
The big bucks. Now, Ryan, let's rephrase that. I used to get paid the big bucks.
doesn't the mayor of French's Forest get paid for that gig? Do you just get paid in beer at the Forestville RSL?
No, I'm not the mayor. Richie's the mayor. he's the one. Man, he's got his little hands in everything, I can tell you. So if we're looking for a multi, well, I'm going to stick with the games that I said. I'm going to go for a United win. Yeah?
Yep.
A Chelsea win. And I'll throw another London team in there, Arsenal, to win. So three-legged multi there for you.
Okay. That three-legger, Robbie, pays $4.18. That's nice enough for the weekend, isn't it?
That's not too bad, is it?
Good stuff.
Bank interest.
And we got through an entire segment without you sledging Mossy.
No, of course, why would I do that? We had a couple of beers the other day, so it was quite nice.
I was going to say, you must have used up all the sledging then, did you?
Yeah, it was a little bit, but it's always good banter. But, no, I'll be following closely. I must apologise missing that Brisbane-Perth game, but this is the problem with the A-League, just before I go, and the FFA Cup was the same. People don't know when it's on. So I don't know what's going on with the marketing arm of the A-League, but they need to do a lot better so people know when games are actually, you know, being played.
Yeah, fair comment, Robbie, and we certainly do value your opinion. And, mate, thank you very much for joining us this morning on the Big Sports Breakfast. We'll chat soon.
Good on your troops. I'll speak to you on Monday. Bye.
Very shortly, we're going to Racing HQ. Let's say good morning to Dave Stanley. Hi, Dave. What's on the show this morning?
Yeah, morning, Ryan, and morning, everybody. Big show. The big trials at Rose Hill this morning, and today we've got John O'Shea at those trials. We're going to check in with him. Of course, he's got Benno at the trials, Quantico going around. So we'll check in with John and find out what's happening. Chris Roots will join us with some pretty breaking news coming out of Racing New South Wales, as will Jock Gologley, and we'll continue on our chat looking to try and find you a winner for Saturday. So a big show coming up today, guys.
Looking forward to that, Dave. We'll tune into Racing HQ in a couple of minutes when we wind up here on the Big Sports Breakfast Summer Edition, and where the sun is setting on Jamie's Summer Edition of the Big Sports Breakfast, at least with the Monday to Friday crew.
Yeah, no, thanks so much, guys. It's been a wonderful 2 weeks. Ryan, you've done a brilliant job steering this ship for the past fortnight. Mossy, you've been great as well. So you guys will continue tomorrow. I'm off, and then the regular team are all back on Monday morning. Jared, Loz and Clarkey.
Yes, looking forward to the boys coming back, but it has been a great couple of weeks with you, Jamie. Thank you for being with us, and thank you, Mossy. You've got to carry a big, big load tomorrow. You've got a huge day.
It's going to be a bit lonely in here tomorrow morning without JR.
You'll be able to spread out. You've got more space.
No, you bring quality content, Jamie. We're going to miss that.
No, thank you, guys. It's been a lot of fun, and hopefully our listeners have enjoyed the past fortnight, and the boys will be back on Monday.
Yeah, well, Mossy and I will carry the load tomorrow, and plenty to talk about tomorrow, particularly in the football world. And obviously, the Matildas getting underway. We're looking forward to that.
Yeah, massive opening game tomorrow night for the Matildas in the Asian Cup, as we covered this morning with Amy. And great to have Amy on the show and Robbie as always. And be a surprise guest tomorrow morning, possibly.
Hopefully, we won't reveal yet. Only because in case if he cancels, it is a he. Maybe that's a hint. But hopefully, we'll have that particular guest that you're referencing. But all in all, it'll be a great show tomorrow on the Big Sports Breakfast Summer Edition. Hopefully, you can join us. A big thanks to Jamie Rogers, Phil Moss with me, and we'll hopefully speak to you again tomorrow. Tune in.